This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, you saw both of them, right?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen the original, but I know
yeah.
what they added, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was blatantly obvious what they added. And I can see why what they got, I mean, I can see why they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I thought the redo, a redux, I don't know, however, you know, people want to pronounce it. I don't know. I thought the added version, which is usually what I call it,
mm-hmm.
it didn't add anything of substance to it.
Here's the thing. I think it kind of hurt the movie.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. What you're seeing is Martin Sheen's descent into madness. And then all of a sudden he's fucking some chick?
Yeah. Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole section of the movie that they go, I can't remember, they're French, right? God, it's been
yeah.
a while. Yeah, the French settlers, or French, whatever you want to call
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, where did this come from? I mean, I understand, and listening, have you seen Hearts of Darkness?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that's the actual documentary about making Apocalypse Now that was filmed by Coppola's wife.
Okay.
And it's a rather interesting documentary. It's a really cool companion piece to see all the shit they were doing and, like, going through.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe you don't know, but, like, Brando, he was supposed to read Heart of Darkness.
Yeah,
and
he showed up, never heard of it.
He's like, did you read the book? And he goes, what book? And he's like, I sent you the fucking book. And he's like, it's okay, I don't need it. Just something like that. And it was like, what a dick. So he just basically,
yeah.
Brando made up all of his part, basically. So,
I read a lot about movies when I watch them. And I haven't seen a movie that Brando's been in where people have ended up liking him at the end of
mm-hmm.
it.
Well, Edward Norton.
About what a prick he is.
Yeah, Edward Norton apparently was really keen to him after, what was it, The Score? When it was him,
yeah.
De Niro, and Brando.
Yeah.
And the only other guy I can think of, and I don't know if it means they liked him or if he took a cue from him, and that was Val Kilmer.
Okay.
I mean, look at his career after Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
And now he's the main fat guy in MacGruber.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can definitely, and like when he was filming, what was it, The Lion? Oh, my God. It had Michael Douglas. It took place in Africa, and it had a lion in the title. I'm
yeah.
losing
yeah.
my mind. Well, basically, he wanted to sleep out in the wild with, like, potentially hazardous animals or, you know, as Joe Rogan would call them, monsters all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And, basically, he took the Brando cue and just went kind of batty, basically.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, no, but going back to what you were saying, those are just two examples of people who, like, were influenced by him, at least.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Great actor. Wonderful actor.
Mm-hmm.
But an absolute prick.
Well, I don't know if he was a prick or if he was just so fucking weird and spaced out half the time.
That could be.
I mean, have you ever seen those Saturday Night Live sketches? Or skits, excuse me, with, with John Travolta playing Marlon Brando? And
no.
Kevin Nealon was Larry King? And, like, John Travolta was riding Larry King during the interview?
No, I never saw that.
Yeah, I know it doesn't sound funny, but just if you don't know anything about Brando, the skit's not funny.
Sure.
But if you know anything about him, it's actually really damn spot on. So,
yeah.
But we've gotten far away from the movie. But yeah, I like the original better. And I know, like, you know, because sometimes bigger isn't better, I guess, if I go generic terms like that.
Right.
And, it just seemed bloated. And really, like you said, it took 3 hours, which I think you're being generous. I think it was almost 4 hours.
It was like 3.5 or something. I can't
yeah.
remember. But it was awful. You know, the added scenes were like, what? What the hell's going on? You know?
Yeah.
Like the French thing and then the Playboy Bunny thing. I don't think it fit.
Okay, well, the Playboy Bunny thing, well, you know, when they first got to the base, that was in the original. And, like, they were hanging up a helicopter trying to get to him.
Sure.
It was that part later on where they meet up with him again or something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh? Again, that just totally took you out of it, where these guys are supposed to be, like, you know, in the wild, losing their sanity and all this stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess the whole point of it, if there was one, is that, you know, even they were getting more animalistic as well. So as soon as they saw the playmates that were teasing them,
mm-hmm.
it just kicked in the animalistic nature of, you know, men or whatever. So, I mean, that's the only thing you're supposed to get out of it. It's like they're going so crazy that they're actually becoming, like, feral.
Right.
But
overall, excellent movie, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I watched it again. But
oh, yeah. Every time that's on, I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it just, the whole scene where, the, you know, when they're playing the end and it's all shadows and light, the entire thing, and then they give you that stark reality of the people slaughtering the cow, which apparently was real.
Yeah, I read that. Like, that whole thing is real.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was in a documentary, too. They were doing a sacrifice, and they were there, and they were sacrificing for good luck or something weird like that.
Sure.
And they let them film it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you're Coppola, you can't turn that down, you know?
Yeah. But do you imagine if they did that now? Like, oh, yeah, this is a live sacrifice during our movie. We're not putting this in your fucking movie. We're not putting this out. Are you crazy?
Yeah, the movie would never see the light of day.
No, that scene wouldn't, at least, but
no,
I don't know. Was that Martin Sheen's probably greatest role ever?
Probably.
What was it? Yeah, because I'm trying to think of anything else I remember him in that I liked.
I can't.
Wow, you know, that's really weird. I can't either. I know he was on The West Wing.
Yeah.
Hmm. If I wasn't too lazy to walk in my room and look up Martin Sheen movies, but I'm not going to bother. Because I know there's an obvious one we're missing. Was it not Robert Duvall?
Okay.
I was about to say he was in Colors, but that was actually Robert Duvall. So
sure.
Who was in Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
Yeah, and look at the cast and the bit players in that movie as well.
Oh, I know.
I mean, a 16-year-old Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
Dennis Hopper, obviously. Robert Duvall is, God, I can't remember the sergeant. What the hell was his name? It's a cool name, too. So.
Kilgore, right?
That's it, yes. And then Brando, then you got Harrison Ford as a real quick player in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just all sorts of stuff. It was just crazy to me. Look, when I first watched
Harrison Ford. I was kind of looking for him. Like, what's Harrison Ford going to do in this, you know?
Mm-hmm. He was a little weaselly guy. That's how I always took that character to be. Even though he didn't do anything wrong, I just got the feeling he's like the weasel on the base. So.
Yep.
Well, I guess we should talk some wrestling, huh?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to do some. So,
okay.
You know how we'll do it.
One of these days. We're going to do an audio with no wrestling whatsoever.
Or we'll just mention, or if to get around it, just mention something wrestling related, just say wrestling and do something else.
Just say the word wrestling.
Yeah. Just throw it in every once in a while.
My personal demons lately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's heard about the birds. Well,
Hey, welcome everyone. It's the audio experience, which is actually / Stunt Granny number 99. My God, we've done, technically we've done over 100 audios, but as a Stunt Granny audio, named Stunt Granny audio, this is only number 99, so.
Yeah, we've been kind of cheating and naming some of them other things, but whatever,
That's Dusty Gaming, I'm Jeremy Mays, and like I said, we're here to talk wrestling and whatever else pops up, actually.
Yeah.
So let's get into something I was talking to you today about. We're getting a roundabout way. The only really one of two things to talk about on this show, NXT, and that's Bryan Danielson. God damn it. Okay, I don't know if you listened to the last show. Kevin and I did. I'm calling him Bryan Danielson, even though they keep calling him Daniel Bryan, because...
Oh, that's fine. I will.
Okay, cool, because I just can't keep it straight. Just like I still call the Dudleys... I'm sorry, I call Team 3D the Dudleys still.
Yep.
And then, and Michael Cole / Miz. And then Wade Barrett's in there, only because he seems to be the only logical choice to win NXT.
Yes.
I mean, if... I guess we should preface this with, yes, we know it's fake, so, you know, it's rigged. Of course, whoever they want to win is going to win.
Right.
But taking it and looking at it as an actual competition, we're just going to play it that way.
Right.
Wade Barrett is clearly the only guy who should win this thing, right? I mean, sort of.
Totally agree. Like, if they had made it so that Skip Sheffield would have won, I would have been like, what? You know?
Yeah. It's almost a boring point, but he doesn't get to do a whole lot except go out there and have Jericho, you know, stump for him.
Nice.
Yeah, but then, I mean, because David Otunga's guy is R-Truth, who somehow is getting over,
I have no fucking clue, dude.
Yeah, Kevin started getting on me about that, because I was like, ugh, R-Truth won, beat his blah, blah. He's like, well, he is over, and I was like, ugh. He's like, hey, you can't argue with that. I was like, I can argue anything I want.
I mean, if I was running things, I'd push him because he's over, but I don't want any part of it.
But isn't he over only because he comes out to that gay-ass what's up thing, and and the kids, the new audience they're going for, and the moms in the crowd who are there with their kids can get into something like, you know, all the moms being cool and, you know, something to chant with their kids
who
is looking clean.
I mean, I know the guy's a smoker, but he sounds like he could, like, I don't know, you know. I can't think of the right word. Like, he's just, like, he's choking one off on a chimney or something, you know? Weez-tastic. I don't know what's cool about repeating the word what's up, you know?
Well, did Eric send you that link for people who, I think it was ask.com, something like that, and it was like, what are the lyrics to what's up?
Yeah.
And somebody had, like, the first verse, and then after it goes, repeat what's up 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's perfect. I mean, I know the guy's being a dick, but that made me start listening to his entrance theme music.
Right.
That really is all it is. And I don't know if you caught this Monday, but they actually turned his music down while he was on the way to the ring.
Yeah.
And it was just his, I mean, you have music, obviously, but usually they have the lyrics, you know, turned up a little bit to cover his raspy voice.
Sure.
But they didn't on Monday.
Okay.
So he's, you know, he's shucking and jiving and dancing all that stuff down to the ring.
Sure.
He's clearly out of breath.
yeah.
They aren't turning his music back up. I was like, oh my God, they're letting this guy hang himself. I just thought that was funny and very weird.
At some point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you know. I don't know. But the kids love him, so. But, wow, we got off Wade Barrett real quick. But no, it, I don't know. Looking at Wade Barrett, he's the only one that actually stands out. He actually looks like if he was in the ring with Sheamus right now, and I'm using Sheamus because he's a newer guy, that it wouldn't be awkward. You wouldn't be like, oh, this guy stands no chance. Like, if you put David Otunga in there with Triple H, you'd laugh your head off.
Yeah, absolutely no chance. Yep.
Yeah. And
Barrett seems like he could hang with some of the guys.
Yeah. I mean, and Justin Gabriel, I think he has a future. Just based off of his looks, and he can talk a little bit, you know? But I don't know. Just doesn't seem like anybody on that thing, after Bryan Danielson got eliminated, who, you know, was like the fans, insider fans' choice, that there was no one on that show that really, you know, stood a chance. I mean,
no,
certainly
right.
Not Heath Slater. Jesus.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, how fitting was it that Heath Slater was paired with Christian?
Yeah.
They're both kind of goobers.
Yeah.
And basically, Christian's kind of looking at Heath Slater going, oh, my God, that was me when I was younger. And, oh, my God, look at me, I'm in the same place as Heath Slater, pretty much.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. But the big thing out of NXT and what we were talking about today, the Bryan Danielson, Michael Cole thing is working. Regardless of reason. Go ahead.
No, some people don't like it. I've been reading some columns from people with opinions.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to bash the angle anymore because it is working. And regardless if, you know, you're a smart fan and they're going to turn you into a mark, or, you know, you shouldn't buy into this because that's what WWE wants you to do. Well, WWE, they want me to boo CM Punk, and it works. That's their job, regardless of the means and ways of doing it, right? I mean, am I wrong on this, or?
They want you to watch the TV shows and buy the product. That's it. They don't care how you do it. They don't care what you're thinking when you do it. They want you to do it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
See, what we're alluding to or referring to is a column that was in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, so I'm almost kind of hesitant to really bring it up because it is a pay site, you know. But the basic crux was that WWE is manipulating people because they're jerks on the scene, and they want people, you know, they... All right, this is what I got out of it, and if you want to go to the person subscribe and you can read it. Basically, it was just saying that WWE is using the smart marks to get over Bryan Danielson.
Right.
To kind of paraphrase it.
Sure.
But isn't that okay? I mean,
yes.
How uncompelling WWE and wrestling right now is? To have an angle that is clearly manipulated, that working not only with the smart marks or what smart fans turning into marks, and then the general public, isn't that all that matters?
Yep.
Especially when it's a clean angle, and what I mean by clean is it's something you can promote.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It. I guess I don't understand everyone's bitching now. The undermining. Just the quick point that I actually did agree with was the undermining of the announcer.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think people put that much into announcers, though.
No, that's the thing. They're not thinking like that about Michael Cole.
No. I gave Kevin a number today of, 75%? No, or was it 35? Something like that. The people who read the internet and follow wrestling compared to the general public who watches wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The general public has got to be 75 to 80% of the audience. and that might be too low.
Mm-hmm.
So I do understand the argument that WWE is using NXT to get back at internet fans.
Right.
I mean, unless I'm missing something totally, why would a millions of dollars corporation waste TV time? I mean, I know, and it's going to come back to, you know, the WWE's evil and all this stuff, but
yeah, that's a whole lot of what you get from that website. So
I don't know. And I guess for anyone who maybe knew, for the obvious disclosure, we used to work there.
That's right.
So
I remember that.
Yeah, so you know, just in case anyone.
I remember
said
getting lied to too. That was fun.
I remember getting scolded a lot.
Getting what? Oh, yeah.
Scolded, yeah. Some of my own doing. But no, I guess speaking strictly to an internet crowd, what is the harm in this angle if it's borderline compelling and it's interesting? And when I saw Bryan Danielson actually get to smack Michael Cole, do you know how satisfying that was?
Yeah.
And how fun that was? And that has nothing to do with being a smart fan. That has everything to do with being a fan. That was fucking cool. Who hasn't wanted to do that? I don't know.
I've wanted to see that since I first saw Michael Cole.
And boy, he's put on weight, too.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
Yeah, remember the old WrestleMania 17 or 18, whatever. He was hosting the show the whole time. It was him and Ivory. He was a spring chicken back then. I was like, damn, he's been around a long time.
Oh yeah.
But
I wonder what Ivory up to. She was hot.
Yeah, Ivory was always one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what she's doing now. I haven't really looked. So, let's move on to Raw. We're not doing that other promotion. That's all we're gonna bring up about it. So let's go over to Raw.
About what you're even talking about.
Yeah. hang on a second. Okay. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that was me yelling at the dogs.
I did indeed hear that.
Oh, okay, good. That was my restrained.
Restraint, okay.
Yeah.
Every time you yell at the dog, you sound like a serial killer.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure my neighbors think I'm insane, so that's all right. hey, they listen, so that's all I care about. I was going to try and bring up something about Raw, but it's such an uninteresting show right now.
I don't know. This was an okay show, you know? But that's a problem, though, I guess. It's just okay. It's not great. It's not compelling. It's not like, I got to see that again, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the good stuff. Batista, if that's his last appearance, which I really hope it's not, the frothing guy in the wheelchair always works for me.
Absolutely.
And Elisa's son was over, we were watching it. I've been slowly getting him into watching wrestling. And he's like, wow, he sure is spitting a lot. And I looked and I was like, holy shit, he sure was. But watching Batista out there, a guy that's having fun, he knows this is, apparently knew, you know, this was it for him. If everybody would just bring that type of energy to the rest of that show, even if it was underwhelmingly written, I mean, the energy alone would be awesome. I don't know.
If you're not feeling what they scripted for you, just pull a Brando.
Hey, you know what? Nice way to wrap it back into the intro.
Yep. Every now and again, I do something okay.
Well, going with what you said, though, that's what Austin did, basically.
Yep.
when he first got noticed, he went off script. And right now, I mean, with their current marketing, they don't want people swearing. All right, well, then don't. But just, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be an energy. I've grown to like Sheamus.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown to like him. I'm not saying I like him. I guess that's two different things.
No, right.
But, yeah, I mean, he's not the turnoff that he was to begin with, you know. I'm trying to think of positives to this show, and I was actually thinking about this, and I wish I would have run this by you so I'd give it some thought, but WWE right now really reminds me of the Rock and wrestling stuff.
Okay.
Except more, all right, I hate saying this stuff, but, like, an edgier or extreme version. Sorry to say it like that.
You know, Paul invented that word, extreme.
He what? He resented it?
He invented it.
Oh, stupid.
Nothing was extreme until Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. He also brought the hardcore wrestling style to the world, too.
He really did.
All right. If you look at it, John Cena is clearly the Hulk Hogan of the group. Okay?
Yep.
You've got... I have this all planned out this morning. All right. You've got Sheamus, who could be Roddy Piper. And just a Scottish-English thing, but, you know... Just trying to draw parallels here between all the different characters. And then I'm drawing a blank, but it was really good, and it made a lot of sense. But it just gets to that point. It's just getting to that point now where it's like all caricatures again. Now, they're not named T.L. Hopper or the Goon, you know, that sort of thing.
That was an embarrassing time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah. Especially when they renamed Wild Bill Irwin the Goon. I was like, he doesn't know shit about hockey. That makes no sense.
Right. Wasn't he, like, always a cowboy until they brought him in?
Yeah, that's what, yeah, he was Wild Bill Irwin.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they made him look like one of the guys from Slapshot, sort of, where they were trying.
Tried to.
Yeah, but it just seems, and also not just in character, well, rock and wrestling, it's like a combination of rock and wrestling and then the early 90s where there was no energy to anything.
Okay, yep.
You've got your caricature characters, and then you've got little to no energy.
Mm-hmm.
No one, I mean, Cena does it, but Cena just seems so disingenuous still.
Yes. I would say until the end of time that he's better as a heel because he seems much more natural.
Uh-huh.
He's been babyface for long enough where I can say that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, look how long Batista was a face. And then he switched to heel. I mean, it's been since the Evolution days.
Yeah.
When he was last a heel until now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it. I don't know. It's just such a boring. It's not a bad show. To me, it's
boring.
Just really boring, though. I don't know. And seeing sad Virgil out there with Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. I wonder how much money Virgil blew in his life, because you'd think he'd be set for life.
Yeah. And he's got to be in good health. All the cake jobs he never had to do.
Yeah.
He
worked for WCW when Bischoff was ATM Eric, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was probably making, like, millions of dollars a year. And I'm sure since he was in the NWO, he was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that money go?
Yeah. Unless, well, you know what? They say when you get to retirement, you get bored.
Yeah.
So who's to say he's like, you know what? This seems kind of fun again. Get to go out and hang out with the guys again and do whatever I want.
Yeah, but the argument against that is that he's not having fun.
Well, yeah, good call. I'm trying to think of stuff I like on Raw. That's why I keep stumbling over my words. So if you have something you like on Raw, feel free and share.
Stumble bumbling. Well, obviously, the best thing about Raw was Batista in my House of Humble Pancake.
Yeah.
Really like that. What else was there?
This is where if we had music, we could play it in the background.
Tom Lovett's crap.
Yeah. Tom Lovett.
Qualifying match.
No, the U.S. match, but eh. Well, all right. I enjoy The Miz on Raw.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
That's a positive. And I actually didn't mind and kind of liked that he did not win the United States belt right back. I think more TV can get played out with him, like, whining and complaining that he should be champion. And
sure.
The Miz, to me, doesn't seem like one of those guys who's going to turn face anytime soon.
No. And I really hope he doesn't either.
Mm-mm. Yep. Yeah, there was a... Oh, yeah, this was interesting, at least. They had the Hart Dynasty, and then Rikishi's kids attacked him, along with Jimmy Snuka's daughter.
That's right.
That was one of those what-the-fuck moments, because not that it was, like, impressive, but it was seriously like, what the fuck just happened here?
Yes, exactly.
And then they never brought it up again.
That's one of those Russo things. Like, wait a minute, what was that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for them introducing new people after a pay-per-view, but a new tag team? I mean, huh? Like, where the hell did that come from?
Right.
Hold on, man. I guess, to me, the show to watch is still SmackDown, I guess, because I actually enjoy shit that goes on over there, and they've got a smaller... Oh, one thing I do enjoy is Edge, like, finding his stride again.
Yeah. Edge was so genuinely exciting during his, I guess, last peak during his heyday. I don't know how to word that without making him seem like 5,000 years old, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Like, when he showed back up at the Royal Rumble this year, that was a genuine, oh my God, thank God sort of moment. Like, cool, a big star's here again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just botched his face turn. And
which you think would be easy.
Yes.
Because the fans were, like, jumping out of their skin to cheer him last time.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, that's how it was. Mm-hmm. He basically, Randy Orton is getting the push Edge was probably and should have gotten.
Yeah.
You don't change your act at all. You just let the fans cheer for you. I just don't get it sometimes. Well, yeah, I guess we could mention Randy Orton. He finally hurt himself pounding his fist into the mat. Just by a sheer gravity standpoint and how much he probably weighs.
Yeah.
Wasn't this one of those inevitable things?
Yes.
Everyone knew he was going to hurt himself, but it was like one of those sort of unconscious or subconscious, like you look at someone or when you're talking to someone, it's always right there. You don't even need to say it because you're both thinking it.
Right.
So when he got hurt, it was just like,
when will it happen?
Yeah.
That's the only question. Mm-hmm.
Especially given his health.
Yeah.
No, I know this sounds bad, but I was kind of hoping he was going to be out for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Like a couple months at least. Nothing obviously personal. I mean, I can't say I enjoy Randy Orton matches, but I understand the appeal.
Sure. Yep.
It just would have been better because Raw is so overwhelmingly loaded right now.
Yeah.
That he doesn't need to be there. And maybe they could have pulled some classic, he would leave and then go up and show up on SmackDown and be there and not have to explain anything.
I mean, I felt like after seeing who went to Raw, he had to go to SmackDown.
Uh-huh.
But then he didn't.
Yeah, you were thinking anybody else could have gone to SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, but yeah. But
Ziggler is the one that would have made the most sense, I can speak. And it just never happened. So now they can do one of those Casper things where he's off and then he comes back on the other show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my contract expired or something. You know?
Yeah. Was that what Batista did?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Which, the contract expiring thing always cracks me up.
Yep.
Because it's like, okay, you at least have to have the GM mention it so that he doesn't look like a total fucking tool when a huge star moves from one show to the other and you get nothing. I mean, I guess if you're, well, at least the Pittsburgh Pirates get people for the people they trade away. But I mean, in any other sport, if your big stars walked away every time and you got nothing for it, wouldn't your ass be fired?
Buried in all of this paperwork is the fact that Orton's contract expired. Oh, well. Dum-de-dum-dum-dum. I'm sure.
How about those Cowboy Bobs? Yeah. Just
yeah.
Stupid. And it's just one of those things where you read too much into the titles they give people.
Yeah.
Like Gorilla Monsoon being president of WWF, or Jack Tunney, you know, like, okay, whatever.
Jack Tunney. He was the best.
Man, they were showing those WWE 24/7 commercials,
mm-hmm.
And they showed that picture of Bobby the Brain and Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
And I was like, now there was my announce team.
Yeah.
And then you listen to Mutter and Stumbling, Mitchell Cole and, well, Jerry Lawler, but then you know you're eventually going to get Matt Stryker. I don't know.
The professionalism that Lawler had 10 years ago is out the window.
Yeah, you got to figure he's got to be getting bored, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought that gig for him wasn't going to be permanent. I really did. I mean, it's going on how long? Remember when he got fired and everyone was like, oh, my God, they fired him. How could you blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And now it's kind of like, yeah, maybe they don't need him much anymore, you know?
If he got fired now, no one would give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry Lawler got fired, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick movie advice here. I'm just going to pick your brain. So I got, I'm on the Netflix. And yeah, we're just going to get away from wrestling for a little bit so we can get some mojo going. Let's see. I got, that doesn't come out for a while. I'm trying to figure out what, I got Crazy Hearts coming. You know, the Jeff Bridges movie?
Yeah.
I'll remove this. Now, I got a bunch of stuff I got to watch. So I'm putting Daybreakers, that vampire movie, just for the hell of it. Because it's Netflix. Oh, dude, I watched Zombie Strippers last night.
Really?
With Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a good movie, all right?
Okay.
It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, though. And there were, I mean, I don't know. First,
what I felt about Showgirls at first. I thought it was going to be epically terrible, and it is terrible,
mm-hmm.
But it's not like so bad that it's
terrible. Well, I think the problem with Showgirls is it got so overblown with how bad it is that you're expecting just the worst. And you get the worst, but not like, you know, neon sign the worst, you know?
Right.
I watch Showgirls every time it's on because there's some hilarious shit in that movie. It's that. That's at least one of those movies that it's that bad you can laugh at it.
Yep.
Sort of thing. Unlike just a really horrible movie, like I was expecting as well.
Sure.
But no. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to watch Precious. You know, the based on the novel by Sapphire. You know, with the fat chick.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I feel like watching that. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I got a movie. I got to change my queue around by tomorrow because that's when they're going to receive the movie I just sent. So
IMDb has it rated 7.5 out of 10. So that's kind of in the lower range of movies you need to watch.
Yeah, to me it just looks like a fucking comedy. I mean,
yeah.
Have you read anything about that movie?
I know enough to know it exists, but that's about it.
Dude, it's about this overweight black chick, all right?
Yeah.
Not only that, she's sexually abused by her father and her mother.
Sure, you'll have that.
And, yeah, of course. Oh, no, I'm not done. And she's had given birth to two kids by her own dad.
Uh-huh.
And she can't read. And I think, if I remember this right, she has either HIV or AIDS.
Oh, well, that's the cherry on the shit sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what else? I mean, why not make her paralyzed and even her tongue doesn't work? You know? What a fucking shit movie. And this is the kind of shit that, I mean, as I'm getting older, this is starting to really bother me. This is the kind of shit that people in Hollywood are like, oh, my God, that is such a triumph of the human spirit. This is, no. It's blatant manipulation. I mean, my God. Just fucking crap. Anyway.
I've been watching a lot of clips on YouTube of Siskel and Ebert reviewing movies.
Yeah.
And they liked realism when it came to, like, violence and when it came to, like, portrayals of America that, you know, aren't normally showcased in movies. This
yeah.
is really bad.
No.
Just like
yeah.
some hodgepodge of shit, sounds like.
Yeah, and there was actually a joke on 30 Rock about it. And I wish, do you ever watch 30 Rock from the, not 30 Rock from the Sun, holy shit, but 30
Rock.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you ever watch 30 Rock, you know, on NBC, that one, the correct show? But their dialogue is so snappy and fast, I can't remember what the hell he said. But oh my God, they pretty much nailed it. And that's kind of how I feel about it. And I want to see the movie just so I can have a stronger opinion of probably the amount of shit this movie is.
I know Howard Stern got in trouble for talking about the chick, right?
But he didn't say anything that wasn't true.
He didn't say a goddamn thing, but he got in trouble for it anyway because he's Howard Stern.
Yeah.
He basically said she is large and she is in a movie, you know?
And she's not going to get any other roles because of that.
No, she's not.
Yeah. I don't know.
She should be the victim of a fat joke on an Adam Sandler movie or something, you know? That's it. That's all there is.
Did you ever see One Crazy Summer?
No.
There's a scene, you gave me a great idea. There's a scene in that movie where, oh God, what's his name? The guy that used to like, the comedian guy, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay, yeah.
He gets inside of a Godzilla-looking rubber suit.
Nice.
And he accidentally starts stomping all over this, like, richy, rich guy's model city. So they film it like Godzilla, okay?
Nice.
So I'm thinking, how funny would it be to actually try and splice it in so that you've got the precious chick doing the same thing? Like a Godzilla, like either a Godzilla villain, or like, you know, when they had Godzilla versus King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I wish I was more talented with, like, video stuff. Oh, I mean, I wish I was talented at all with video stuff.
Right. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Anyways. Yeah, One Crazy Summer is one of those unheralded, like, 80s classics. It's got a young John Cusack and a really young Demi Moore. So, anyways, trying to get, all right. Since Raw is just kind of boring. Over on SmackDown, though, you've got pretty much, and I think Eric said, this is the experimental show.
Sure.
They're just throwing stuff out to see what works, and if it works, great. If not, well, then we just scrap it and forget about it.
Sure. Like, at first, they weren't sure that the CM Punk thing was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd rather try that kind of thing on SmackDown than put it out on Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can edit it up. Yeah. And I think going to what you were saying, CM Punk was the beginning of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then now they're kind of trying to do the same thing with Jack Swagger.
Yep.
Because if Swagger was on Raw, he wouldn't be champion right now.
Right.
He would have had, what, the 2 weeks? Two, three-week title reign, and Cena would have won it right back, and then Swagger would be down at the bottom again. So
jobbing, because there is no middle card.
Yeah, well, true.
There's no
yeah. So I guess that's why I enjoy watching SmackDown right now.
No matter what they do to it, it's always my favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it'll have its lull here and there. I mean, it's not perfect, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got Jack Swagger taking on the Big Show for, like, their title picture, and it doesn't seem out of place. I mean, they're letting, basically doing what we've been asking them to do for a long time, let a guy go out there and sink and swim on his own in front of a live audience.
Yep, that's right.
And that, yeah, and then it's kind of refreshing. I mean, I wonder if we'd be saying the same thing if it wasn't working.
I don't know. I would appreciate the approach, I think, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. And then they've got, well, they got that. They've somehow turned Big Show into a face already without actually him doing anything.
Yes. Isn't that weird? Love that.
I mean, he just came out. I guess there's the manipulation part where he just comes out and says, "Hey, I don't like you, Jack Swagger." And all the kids go, "Oh, big giant fat man, I love you." It was effortless. I mean, effortless. Effortless. God damn, was I saying that right? Ugh. It was pretty much effortless in their part, where with Randy Orton, they had to do it. They slowly allowed the audience to like him.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate that, too. He's a pretty heinous guy, you know? So that's kind of how they had to do it.
Yeah.
Storyline.
But I think they've still... I mean, you've got CM Punk and Rey Mysterio, which kind of looks like it's coming to an end.
Yep.
And I just hope this doesn't mean CM Punk's going to be feuding with Kane.
Oh, God.
After reading the results of the pay-per-view, because I didn't get this one, or any of them, for that matter. Having Kane come down to interfere with the Rey CM Punk stuff in the whatever Strange Society, whatever. I'm sorry. My little dog just came in here. I've got the house still kind of torn up.
Yep.
She grabs her toy. She grabs her toy beaver by the face, which she hasn't touched, I'd say, in at least 2 months. Grabs it by the face, looks at me like, "Yeah, what's up?" And then starts whipping it around, just the trots out of the room, like, triumphantly. Like, she was just telling me, "It's like, look, this could be you or something."
Yep.
So, I don't know whether to be scared or laugh at her.
Not happy with you at all.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah, I forgot what I was even talking about. That totally distracted me. She seriously gave me, like, "This is fucking you." And then just trotted out, like, "Yeah, that's right, bitch," and just walked her out of the room.
Well, you scream at them all the time.
No, I don't yell at them when they don't listen to it. Yeah,
that's what's going on.
Well, now I can hear her squeaking the shit out of that thing in the other room. She has not touched this thing in 2 months. So she must be pissed off about something.
Oh, God. Yeah, people needed to hear that, huh?
Yeah, who cares? But yeah, but no, having Kane interfere with the straight edge society, that was my first thought. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, I, maybe it could develop, but there is no chemistry between Kane and CM Punk.
No, I don't know. I understand why Kane is still where he is, but there's only so much you can do with him.
Unless we're overlooking maybe a Luke Gallows sort of feud with him.
Okay.
To try and get Gallows up to a Kane level, because you got to figure Kane can't have too much longer, can he? I mean,
I doubt it. I mean, he's really up there in age, you know, for a wrestler anyway.
Yeah. And he doesn't get hurt too often. So, I mean, when he does, he's out for a while. So he's got a lot of miles on that body of his.
Right.
And they haven't built up the mystique like they have with The Undertaker with him.
Yeah.
So you can't have him go off TV for a couple months and then come back and have him go, oh, like they do with The Undertaker. But I mean, we've kind of seen Kane and Luke Gallows feud back when he was fake Kane.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if that's what we're in store for, the matches are going to be excellent.
I think we did an old audio experience show after Fake Kane beat Kane on pay-per-view, and then the next day Kane beat the hell out of Fake Kane, and we never saw him again.
Never saw him again, yeah.
And we were both like, what the hell was the point of that? That was just... It was one of those classic WWE things where they go, oh my god, this guy sucks, get rid of him.
Yeah, you know, obviously the plan was to push him for a long time, but he beat Kane initially. But they must have watched that match and been like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. How the hell did Fake Kane even come up? I'm seriously thinking back. Because he came out with the mask and the hair and all that stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
How the hell did they work that in?
I honestly don't remember. That's terrible.
Wow. Well, it was only, what, a month-long thing. So
yeah,
the fact that he remembered that much. Yeah, I can't think of a damn thing. And Festus, well, Festus of Luke Gallows, he was an OVW guy, wasn't he? Was he Florida? I believe maybe he was Florida, now that I think about it. Because I don't remember him at all.
I wrote that column about how they were going to keep trying until they got it right with him, and I was totally right.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about it a little bit before. The Luke Gallows isn't horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the name's not terrible. His presentation, you know, it's along the straight edge society, so they could still change his look a little bit if they break him out on his own. But, yeah, he is one of those guys they showed patience with, at least.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to rack my brain how the hell they came. But anyways, yeah, I mean, you've got the straight society part. If they ever wanted to break it out, I think Luke Gallows, they could actually make a little mini feud with him and Punk. And I think Punk at right this point in time has enough mustard to get Gallows over so that he could break out on his own at least. And then I guess they're bringing Loki up pretty soon.
Right.
Since he was at the pay-per-view. But it's a weird thing if Kane starts feuding with Punk, Ray has nobody to feud with.
That's right.
I mean, unless they have him feud with Caval, I guess his name's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. A low-key Ray Mysterio match?
Love it.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, if they decide to go that way, that'd be something we've never seen before, so.
I've been dying to see Loki in WWF. I can't wait, WWE.
Yeah, whatever. hey, if it's good enough for Buzz Aldrin to say, it's good enough for Dusty Eubank.
That's right.
There you go.
Because Buzz Aldrin was the originator of faking the moon landing.
Dude, when they played that, him punching that guy in the mouth on the big screen on Raw, that was so damn funny.
Yeah.
Because that pussy never saw it coming. He figured, I'm going to go there and abuse this old man. And the old guy crocked him in the mouth.
Yep.
So funny. It's usually funnier the other way around. But, you know. No, but assessing the rest of the SmackDown, I mean, they've got Shad, who they finally broke off with, you know, JTG. You got him you can push. Got to work on his look a little bit, but I think he could do something.
He's got to, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with him getting rid of the dreads or the cornrows. Excuse me. He had the cornrows. Did he have the cornrows? Was that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with getting rid of those because having the short hair kind of makes him look a tad nondescript now.
Yeah. Yep.
If he had the jeans and the Doc Martens still, maybe it would be okay. But just having him come out in tights with a shaved head, just kind of bland, you know?
Yeah.
But I'd still like to see him push, though. I mean, give him some sort of, like, lower card feud just to see what could happen. Dolph Ziggler is one of those guys that always hangs around. They can't seem to put their finger on whether they want to actually push him or not.
Yeah, your middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there are other guys, but I'm just running out of steam.
Sure.
It just seems to me SmackDown
would be a guy that, you know, if they're going to push a couple guys this summer and see what sticks, Dolph should be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they gave him that push a long time ago with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And then Rey goes and gets suspended, and they haven't recovered from that at all with Dolph.
No, that's right.
So it's like, why are you punishing Dolph Ziggler or, you know, Nick Nemeth for Rey Mysterio's problem?
Because they can't think of anything else. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, they had one match between him and John Morrison, where that should have been the next feud that carried him into, you know, the next couple pay-per-views.
Absolutely right.
I'm just wondering if the timing, because it was getting on the push for WrestleMania when all that happened.
Okay.
But at the same time, so you put Dolph Ziggler and John Morrison, right? No, you put Dolph Ziggler in the latter, the Money in the Bank match, and then you put John Morrison in a tag team with R-Truth. I mean, it was as if they just hit the reset button for no reason with that.
Right.
Who else is on SmackDown? I mean, they can really... Oh, I'm too lazy to get to the computer and look, so... There are other guys.
I mean, we've gone over an hour here, so let's not dwell.
Oh, Jesus, have we really?
Yeah.
Well, I think we should wrap it up then. I didn't realize we were going that long.
I mean, I don't want to bore people with, I don't know, who about this guy?
Yeah. It's a two-hour show. An hour and a half of it is going, well, I don't know. You know, I can think about it for a while and get back to it. I guess...
Caused by entertaining, you know?
Yeah. All right, so I guess what we're planning on doing for Stunker Any Audio 100, don't know when it's going to be yet. We've got to coordinate all of us together, which sounds like a nightmare, but...
Yeah, I'm terrified at the thought of having all of us together. That's,
yeah.
I pray to God it's not a train wreck, but...
I remember the one audio, it was all four of us?
Yeah,
so... Well, one of us is just playing host. That's me, so I don't have to talk a whole lot. So I'll be the host, and then I'm going to give you guys questions. And then you're going to answer, and I get to judge you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, no, fuck off. And then if I don't have a kick button, but if I did, I'd kick your ass off. So...
mute button, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to go ahead and mute Dusty.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it is a total around the horn ripoff. Well, fuck off. We don't really care. But it's just something special for the 100th show. So that's coming sometime in the next week, week and a half. I'm just going to put it like that so that if something goes wrong, we can do it over.
And that's vague enough where if it takes us 2 weeks, we won't have to apologize.
So that's it, which has never happened with us before.
Never.
All right, so let's get out of here. I'm going to say bye. So bye, everybody.
All right, well, for Jeremy Mays and his dogs and his tendency to serial kill, I am Dusty Giebink. This has been the Audio Experience. We will try to do better next time.